Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing growing spiritually and operating in power. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word that you've given us, God, so that we can be with you in reconciling the world back to you, God. Father, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given us that allows us to operate the manifestations of that gift within us, God. Father, I thank you for our use of that power, drawing others into your kingdom as we believe to operate in signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. God, give us a desire to grow from grace to grace and faith to faith so that we can truly glorify you in the earth and win souls for the kingdom. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Yes, yes. It's open to them. It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every old will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking. You think they should. Don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. For 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Worship is shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're discussing growing spiritually and operating the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I think that's one of the things that I want to emphasize and highlight tonight, that the Holy Spirit is the gift that was given to us as a result of Jesus Christ's obedience to God in humbling himself and submitting to crucifixion on the cross. And his death, burial, and resurrection made it possible for us to receive the gift of Holy Spirit from God. Now, that gift of Holy Spirit is within us when we repent, when we turn away from serving sin, when we are water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life and our master, when we believe in our heart that God has raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, when we believe to speak in tongues, when we believe to prophesy, and when we call on the name of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because when you read these passages of scripture where it says we're to do these things, each and every time it says, if you do this, you shall be saved. And that's important for us to understand, is our salvation is an absolute thing because God called us before the foundation of the world, but he called us so that we can get to work and be a part of this ministry of reconciliation that Jesus Christ was a part of when he was on earth. He was reconciling the world back to God, those who were lost back to God. And now that it's God in Christ and Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, we have the same assignment to reconcile the world back to God. So God has not given us all of this power of that's within the Holy Spirit for nothing. The Holy Spirit is within us, which is unlimited power. And it's there so that those who believe can operate and perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. And these signs, miracles, and wonders will lead others to repent, to turn away from serving sin, to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life, to believe in their heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, so that they can believe to speak in tongues, they can believe to prophesy, and they can be moved to call on the name of Jesus Christ to save them. So what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a single gift of many operations. The Holy Spirit has nine operations. It is the free gift from God that allows a person to speak in tongues, interpret their tongue, prophesy, receive a word of knowledge, receive a word of wisdom, discern spirits, operate in supernatural faith, produce miracles, and produce gifts of healing. And it's interesting because so many people refer to these operations or manifestations of the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit as gifts, because in the King James Version, it refers to each one of these as gifts. But what is fascinating is that when you read in the King James, King James is honest enough to put what they add in italics. And so when you read the word gifts in front of these different operations of the Holy Spirit, it is really an operation or a manifestation. It's not a gift at all. It is the operation or manifestation of the gift, which is the Holy Spirit. And so for so long, many people have believed that each individual operation of the gift of the Holy Spirit was a special gift of itself. And that simply isn't true. The fact is, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power to speak in tongues, interpret tongues, prophesy, receive a word of knowledge, receive a word of wisdom, discern spirits, operate in supernatural faith, perform miracles, and perform gifts of healing. All that power is within you now. The issue is, have you been instructed from the Word of God as to how that how to use that power? And will you believe to be used by God to use that power? And only God knows if you will believe to grow from grace to grace and faith to faith and increase in your operation of the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you. I think a great example of something similar to this would be our cell phones. Many of us have cell phones. A long time ago, before I got my smartphone, I used to have one of those flip phones. And even the flip phone would do a lot of things. It would take pictures. It would send. It could send emails. You could talk on the phone. You could text on the phone. It had a lot of operations, right? But the cell phone itself was one phone. It was a phone. It was a very powerful tool. Well, right now, my smartphone is not a flip phone, and it can do many of the same things, but it can do a lot more things. I can speak to the phone. I can Google. I can go to my email. I can text. I can take pictures. I can listen to music. I can do so many things on my phone. It is very similar to the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift. It is a single gift. That's the gift. And there's nothing that you did to deserve the gift. The gift is a free gift from God to you when you obey God and make Jesus Christ, his son, your master. That's the deal. And so when you have that gift of the Holy Spirit, you then have the ability, just like if you have your cell phone, you have the ability to make a phone call, to send and receive texts, to send and receive emails, to take pictures, to make videos, to search the internet, to do many things with your cell phone, right? With your single cell phone. Well, Holy Spirit's just like that. You have the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit allows you the ability to speak in tongues, interpret tongues, prophesy, receive word of knowledge, receive word of wisdom, discern spirits, operate in supernatural faith, produce miracles, and produce healings. But if I'm the devil, my job is to talk you out of using the power that you have. And I remember this mindset. It's really rooted in pride. And I must say it must have been what, 10 years ago, when I had my flip phone and I was in this mindset, this old school mindset, where I basically said what people said about the Holy Spirit. I said, it doesn't take all that. I just need to be able to make a call and receive calls. So I wasn't concerned about all the things the phone could do, the cell phone. I just wanted to receive calls and be able to make calls. And that's how many of us are with the Holy Spirit. We just want to know that we're saved and that we're going to heaven. And that's all we want. And as I became more humble, as I became more meek to the idea that my cell phone could do more than simply send and receive calls, I started to use my cell phone, even my flip phone, to take pictures, to send texts, to check my email. And what I realized was that cell phone, even the flip phone, was very powerful, right? And now my smartphone is even more powerful. Well, that's how the Holy Spirit is. We have had the power of the Holy Spirit for so long within us, many of us. And so much of the power within us has gone unused, that we believe that it's not available for us to speak in tongues because somebody told us it doesn't take all that. Some of us believe it's not available for us to speak in tongues and interpret because somebody told us it doesn't take all that. Somebody told us, we don't believe it's available for us to prophesy because somebody told us it doesn't take all that. We don't believe we can receive a word of knowledge of supernatural knowledge that comes from God that we can't get from our five senses because somebody told us that it doesn't take all that. We don't believe we can receive a supernatural word of wisdom about what to do that we couldn't get by simply our five senses alone because somebody told us it doesn't take all that. We don't believe that we can discern spirits that we're dealing with as we're about to cast those spirits out because somebody told us it doesn't take all that. We don't believe in operating in supernatural faith because somebody told us it doesn't take all that. We don't believe that we're the one that God has called to perform miracles and signs and wonders in the earth because somebody told us it doesn't take all that. And we don't believe that we're the ones who are charged to produce gifts of healing to those who are afflicted in the earth because somebody told us it doesn't take all that. And you know what? When I was operating in pride, when I had my flip phone, I thought that I was being wise because I was only using my phone like a phone. But really, I was being foolish because I was paying for internet. I was paying for texting. I was paying for being able to take photos. I was paying to be able to take videos. I was paying for all of these things in addition to having a phone. I simply wasn't using all of those benefits. Now, here's the thing. Because God knows the past, present, and future, God knows what you're going to believe to do. God knows what you're going to believe to use of the power that he's given you. So he is going to not be wasteful with the power that he allocates to you. He's going to give you exactly what you're going to believe to use. And because he knows the future, God knows exactly what you are going to believe to do. So we've all been given the portion of faith that we are going to use. So if we believe to speak in tongues, we will speak in tongues. If we believe to speak in tongues and interpret, we will speak in tongues and interpret. If we believe to prophesy, we will prophesy. If we believe to receive a word of knowledge, we will receive a supernatural word of knowledge. If we believe to receive a word of wisdom, we will receive a supernatural word of wisdom. If we believe to discern spirits, we will discern spirits. If we believe to operate in supernatural faith, we will operate in supernatural faith. If we believe to produce miracles, we will produce miracles. If we believe to produce healings, we will produce healings in the earth, and God will get glory. Signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe because we will be believing. And to me, it's disheartening when you see unbelieving believers because they have the power. They simply do not have the teaching or the instruction that allows them to use the power that they have. And honestly, I'll be quite honest. I have six children, and I learn how to use much of my technology from my children. I would see them on their phones doing all kinds of great things. And I thought to myself, wow, I bought the phone for them. And my phone is far less than theirs. And they're doing everything on these phones. And so I would learn from them. And then I would see my wife on her phone and I would learn from her. And then I would have business associates using their phones and I would learn from them. The Holy Spirit's the same way. In the body of Christ, when we see one another operating in the power and grace of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. We can learn from watching people who have grown to a greater level of faith than we have, and we can emulate their ability to humble themselves to God and use the power that God has given them without rising up in pride and saying it doesn't take all that because some teacher of the word told you enough is enough. It told you it doesn't take all that. It told you that those signs, miracles, and wonders were a thing of the past. Well, you know what? If Jesus Christ said, greater works than these shall ye do because I go unto my Father, then that's the word of God. Greater works than these shall we do because he went to his Father. I want to look at some verses tonight that are going to show you God's desire for us to grow spiritually and God's desire for us to operate in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So this is specifically telling us in 2 Peter 3:18 to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we do, we're going to glorify him now and forever. Now, look at what it says. It says here in 1 Peter 2:2-3, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So when we taste God's graciousness, when we see that it's available for us to grow and feast on the milk of the word, then we're to desire that as newborn babes. We're to be meek. We're to be humble. We're just to be fed and receive that and grow. Now, it's interesting here because after we get past the milk of the word, we want to get to the meat of the word, right? But we have to build ourselves up. Look at what it says here in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 8. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we don't want to be barren or unfruitful in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to be fruitful. We want to be productive, right? And because this is our desire, then we have to tap into the riches of the promises of the Word of God and then act on them. We have to do something with the power that God has placed within us. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 3, verses 14-19. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, God's Spirit in the inner man, how he wants to strengthen you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, see, love motivates us to do all that we do for God, we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that's God's desire. that you can be filled with all the fullness of God, and that you can be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. See, God's not concerned about all of these external things that people would have you to do to please them, to mow your grass and wash your car and press your suits and press your dresses and shine your shoes. God is not concerned about that nonsense. God is concerned about you being strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And in order to build up your inner man, you have to speak in tongues. That's it. If you go to Jude is not a very long book. It's actually a chapter. Read it. You'll find a verse there that says that we strengthen our inner man by the Spirit. There's a verse that in Corinthians that says that the only way to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, the only way to do that is by the Spirit, right? I want to look at these operations of the Holy Spirit, and I want to see what the Word of God has to say about them so that we can get on the same page with God. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. Verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. I want to stop there because this is important. There are different kinds of gifts, and we're going to speak about the types of gifts tonight. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So it is God in Christ in you at work, doing all of these things, whether there are different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. In order to discuss the different kinds of gifts and service and workings, we're going to have to discuss in detail what the gift of the Holy Spirit is, but what are some of the other gifts? Look at what it says here. It says in verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the operation of the Holy Spirit is given so that the whole body of Christ can be strengthened. And that is important to understand. So it is for the whole body of Christ to be built up and edified and comforted and exhorted. Look what it says in verse 8. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, a word of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, so a word of knowledge. Verse 9, to another, faith. This is supernatural acts of faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous power. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, discerning spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. See, the gift of the Holy Spirit is doing all of these things. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, look at what it says here. Where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is within you. The Holy Spirit is not something that comes and possesses you and makes you do things. The Holy Spirit is a part of you. When Adam was created, he was created body, soul, and spirit, but he was actually created in spirit, soul, and body, or spirit, body, and soul. And as we our body, soul, and spirit. And look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, you are God's temple. Verse 16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That is something that we have to comprehend because, one, that's part of the thing. That's one of the things that allows us to really love ourselves and embrace ourselves and know that the Spirit of God dwells within us. God accepted us, approved us, redeemed us. He did all these things because he needs to dwell within us. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 to 9, speaking of the wisdom from the Spirit of God. It says, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, when we believe that, we're not worried about what we have or do not have down here on earth, because God has prepared so much more for us. But what's even greater about this passage here, and to understand the magnitude of the power within you, is to comprehend that the power within you is so significant that if the devil had known that you would receive the power of the Holy Spirit within you, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ. It's hard to imagine. But that tells you how significant the power of the Holy Spirit within you is. Because, see, when Christ was here on earth, he only had to deal with Jesus Christ performing signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. But now that it's God in Christ and Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, he has to worry about all of us everywhere performing the powers. And I believe that is the greater works than these shall we perform. I haven't done the word study yet, but I will, because we know that Jesus Christ did an incredible amount of works. And they were all great works. He raised people from the dead. He made the blind see, made the lame walk. And it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when he says greater works than these shall ye do, right? I can only imagine that that is speaking of quantity, because the works that he did were the same works that we're to be doing now. And the only thing that would be greater is that we were literally, we have the ability to introduce people to him, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that they can make him their master and become a child of God and come before the throne of God after receiving Jesus Christ as their master. So when does a person receive the Holy Spirit? Well, I want to discuss this Greek word that defines receiving. There's a word called dekamai, and there's a word called lambano. And when you receive the Holy Spirit into subjection, dekamai, when you have it, then you have the Holy Spirit, but you've not yet manifested it. You've not yet spoken in tongues. You've not yet prophesied. You've not yet used any of the power that's within you. But lambano is the same English word receive. It's just receiving into manifestation, where you are using the power within you. I want to go through a passage of scripture here in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 17, that speaks of Simon the sorcerer. It says, now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. Now, I want to stop right here to help to point out the difference between the false and the great and the genuine. When something is genuinely spiritual, genuine power from God, it brings glory and attention to God and wins souls to the kingdom. When something is false, it brings glory to the person performing the signs, miracles, and wonders. Those are called lying signs, miracles, and wonders. And in this case, Simon, this is before he was saved, he was practicing sorcery, and he was performing signs, miracles, and wonders, lying signs, lying miracles, and lying wonders, and people were calling him the great power of God. Verse 11 says, they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. So the sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer, was baptized too. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Now, this is a great example of that verse that it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The power that Philip was operating in was greater than the power that Simon the sorcerer was operating in when he was using devil spirits to perform lying signs, miracles, and wonders. And then this guy, Simon, gets saved. He gets baptized. He believes, right? What it says in verse 14, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, the Samaritans, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, now that word received there is they received the word of God. They had the Holy Spirit in subjection. It's the word dekomai. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit so that they could receive the Holy Spirit into manifestation because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that first received is they had it in subjection, but they had not yet manifested it. It says in verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That word received, that last word received, is the word lambano. They received the Holy Spirit in manifestation. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied. The importance of the word gift in this discussion is important because we have to understand that the operations of the manifestation or the operations of the gift of the Holy Spirit are not gifts. They are operations. They are manifestations of the gift. The gift is Holy Spirit. Now, in the English, we have one word gift, but in the Greek, there are four words for gift. The first one is charisma. It always describes God's gifts of grace to man. You'll see this in Acts 2:38 when it talks of God's gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll see this in Ephesians 4:8 to 11 when he speaks of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They are gifts to the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints. And you'll see this in 1 Corinthians 12:9. Speaking of gifts of healings, because every time someone is healed, it is a gift. Now, the other Greek word that you'll see for the word gift is the word doria. It is a gift that is activated by the benefits. The one who receives that benefits the one who receives the gift. So a gift that is activated that benefits the one who receives the gift is referred to as the Greek word doria. Doma is a gift that is activated that benefits others. So a gift of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers benefits others, benefits the body of Christ, the doma. Look at this. The dorema is the last type of gift in the Greek. It is a gift that is activated that benefits both the recipients and others. So when somebody speaks in tongues and interprets, they are edifying themselves as they speak in tongues. And then when they interpret the tongue, they are edifying the body of believers that are with them. because the body can believe, can understand what was interpreted in the tongue that the person spoke prior to interpreting the tongue. The same spirit that gave them the tongue to speak gave them the interpretation of that tongue after the tongue came forth, right? Look at what it says here. It says, what comes with the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, completion. The Holy Spirit gives you completion through salvation first. Salvation is forgiveness, remission of sins, sanctification, sets you apart for the purpose of God so that you can reconcile the world back to God. Justification makes you the righteousness of God, makes it just as if you never sinned, and allows you to come boldly before the throne of grace and receive his mercy to help in time of need. And redemption. Redemption is that purchase price that was paid so that we can walk in liberty before God. That's what comes with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation, sanctification, justification, and redemption. And when we know that this is what we have, when we know this is where we stand, why do we need the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit so that we can reconcile the world back to God and produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life. If we're not operating the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, then we're not going to see a lot of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So when we operate speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing, then we're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And right here, we see the importance of the word power. There are four different types of power in the Greek that we see used in the scripture. One is dunamis. Dunamis is potential energy waiting to be activated. So when we spoke before of the people receiving the Holy Spirit, but not receiving the Holy Spirit into manifestation, they had what was called dunamis. They had the ability, the potential to speak in tongues. But they had not yet operated that. They had not yet manifested the power. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but they had not yet manifested into the senses realm. And so the dunamis, that's the potential energy waiting to be activated. That's one word for power in the Greek. Exousia is the exercise power in operation. So that after Peter and John came and laid hands on the believers, the new believers in Samaria, they received the Holy Spirit in operation. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied, right? Energemata is the diversity of operations, the dunamis in action. It is when you are receiving word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, operating in supernatural acts of faith, miracles, and gifts of healing, believing to speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy. And energeo is God energizing the potential energy that he placed within you. So when it speaks of God's power operating within you to perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth, that is the power that we are walking in when we believe. And so the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our life. See, remember that verse where it says, the things that are in us and abound, they make it so that we shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was in 2 Peter 8. We want to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life as we operate the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life, so that what people see in our life is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, as a result of us using the power that God has placed within us. God gets so much glory when we do this that there is no question about whether we are saved or not, because we are operating in the power of God. So when we are walking this life according to the Spirit and not by the flesh, this is what it looks like. In Galatians chapter 5, speaks of life by the Spirit. And it says in verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." I'm going to stop there real quick. There was an example in the Old Testament where there were some people, some other people other than the disciples, and they were literally preaching the good news that the disciples were preaching. And the disciples said to Jesus Christ, "Hey, these guys that were unauthorized are out there preaching like us." And Jesus Christ told them, "If they're not against you, they're for you. Leave them alone." And this verse here, it says, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to serve one another humbly in love. And when we do this, we are fulfilling the entire law. But it says that if we bite and devour each other, we have to watch out or we'll be destroyed by each other. And I have to be careful with this also, because when we're passionate about what the word says, when we're passionate about what God has shown us in the word, and we see other people who are either intentionally or accidentally working against the purposes of God, we have to be humble in how we present the word and how we show people a greater knowledge of a more perfect knowledge of the truth. It's not that people don't have some truth. It's that sometimes people need a more perfect knowledge of the truth. They need a greater understanding in addition to what they already know about God, so that they can come up higher. But if we all stay in a position of pride, then we'll never learn. We'll never grow from grace to grace and faith to faith, and we'll always be where we are, stuck. God does not want us stuck. He wants us growing in grace to grace and faith to faith and coming nearer and closer and nearer and closer and nearer and closer to Him, knowing that we can never get close enough to Him. He is infinite. Look at what it says in verse 19 here in Galatians 5. It says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious." You know what? Wait, I'm going to go back to verse 16. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." So this speaks against all religion, doctrines of men. I hope someone has heard something that blessed them tonight. and will bring you closer to God and allow you to be more available to use the power that he's placed within you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for someone having been blessed and touched and encouraged. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, be ye transformed.
Your holy word. If I can hear from you.
If I can hear.